It's Lake Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North. It's great to have your company. 10 years ago, Dee Williams was a busy professional and homeowner living in Portland, Oregon. When she had and then recovered from a near-death experience, Williams took stock. She scaled back and built, with help from her friends, an 84-square-foot house. Today, Williams helps others explore the idea of going small through a company she co-owns called Portland Alternative Dwellings. She's also written a book titled The Big Tiny, a built-it-myself memoir. WUWM's environmental reporter Susan Benz caught up with Williams by phone recently while she took her book on the road. Williams described just how different life was before her big tiny transformation.
This was 10 years ago. I lived in a big three-bedroom, 1,500-square-foot house in Portland, Oregon. And, you know, I was slaving away at my job. I worked full-time as a hazardous waste inspector and worked a lot to make my mortgage and pay my utility bills, and spent most of my time, it kind of shifted from being footloose and fancy free before I owned this big bungalow to being the kind of person that would stay home on the weekend to mow the grass and fix the roof and repaint the living room antique white. You know, I was spending all my time and money on this big house and then landed in the hospital. And all of a sudden, how I was spending my time didn't make sense anymore. I remember getting home from the hospital and I sitting in my living room and just looking around at the stuff that I had in my life. And it just didn't make sense anymore. And a couple weeks later, I read an article about a guy who had built a little house. And for some reason, it just clicked for me. It was like, I can get out from under my debt. I can all of a sudden, maybe I could work part-time at my job and do the things that I really wanted to do before, you know, I kick the bucket.
So just to clarify, you were diagnosed with a heart condition. That was a blow.
It was really weird. You know, I was very active. I was a runner and a climber. You know, I'm one of those fidgety kind of people. Getting diagnosed with congestive heart failure, which had a really horrible prognosis of like 1 to 3 years, 1 to 5 years. All of a sudden, it was like, I'm not going to be able to go running when I want to go running. It was scary. You know, it was very challenging to try to figure out how to make sense of things right after I got diagnosed.
Can you describe the process? What led ultimately to the construction of your tiny house?
Well, I read this article and I was like, I could do that. I could do it. And, you know, I grew up building things. I studied architectural engineering. I loved operating power tools. I had a lot of friends who were carpenters. And so, you know, the idea of building a little house completely captivated my imagination. It was something that I thought I could do. And it was a great focus away from being fearful about my health and feeling kind of like a foreigner inside my own body. And it was awesome. It took me 3 months and $10,000. And at the other end of it, I had decided to sell my big house and move into this little tiny house and call it home.
So that being 84 square feet.
84 square feet, yeah. It's the size of my mom and dad's pantry.
So are you a very small person?
I
don't mean as a human. I don't mean at your spirit. I mean your physical persona.
Yeah, I'm 5'5", and I'm a tiny person. I built the house kind of proportionally to fit me, so the kitchen counters fit my body, and the house definitely was built around my body. But it's accommodating to my tallest, biggest friends.
I've read that you can now list your belongings on one sheet of paper. Describe freeing yourself of all of those possessions. Couldn't have been easy all the time.
Yeah, you know, the process of culling through my stuff in my big house was horrible. I mean, I don't want to gloss over the challenge. I mean, there's the easy stuff to get rid of, you know, your tchotchkes in the basement that you don't really look at anymore. But then there were the harder things that just couldn't fit. And an example for me was the artwork that I had up on the walls. You know, some of it was stuff that I had done. There was, you know, my friends are artists and, you know, just amazing pieces of art, and I didn't know what to do with it. So I ended up handing things off to friends with the condition that I could come visit it, you know. And it was grueling to go through and find good homes for things and to also let go. You know, I had a box of stuff up in the attic of, you know, old love letters and wedding announcement and things like that that really represented my past. And so giving myself permission to let go of my past was a part of me being able to kind of step forward into my new life.
So nuts and bolts, how do you handle water and electricity?
Well, I have a big 240-watt solar electric system that runs all my gadgets, so I'm off the grid. And then for water, I pull water from a nearby tap and jug it into the house. I have a composting toilet, and I shower either at work or at the gym or at my friend's house. And I think most people that I talk to, the shower is where the deal kind of falls apart. You know, and most of the folks that I know, there are lots and lots of people who are building tiny houses now, similar to mine. But, you know, most of them have some sort of a water hookup so that they can kind of have a normal, you know, flushing toilet and shower.
Do you imagine any modifications in your future?
You know, as I've aged in place, the thing that has ended up being the challenge for me, I have a 7-foot ladder to get into the sleeping loft. And, you know, as I fell out of the loft a couple years ago and broke my butt, I essentially broke my sacrum. And, you know, I don't know if that ladder is going to work forever for me as I teeter into old age. Knock on wood, I hope I get to be old enough that the ladder doesn't work.
So that's really your primary focus, is getting up there aspect, not water or other modifications.
No, you know, over time, I mean, most of the world lives without water. And so, yes, sometimes it's inconvenient. And yes, sometimes I grouse about, like, whose idea was it to live without running water? I give myself a hard time for that. But those ideas are passing. Because, you know, right up against my own grousing about what I don't have, I can very easily see that I have a lot more than most people in the world. Most people, you know, don't get to sit around inside that sense of gratitude, and or they bump into it every once in a while. And so I really do try, like when I'm feeling particularly bitter about not having running water, I really do try to spin it a little bit and get through it, and, you know. And then you wake up the next day and everything's fine.
I realize you have a story to tell, but when did the idea of, hey, I'm going to do a book, when did that start to form in your head?
You know, a couple years ago, a very good friend of mine, Tammy Strobel, was working on writing a book. And it looked like the writing process for her was something that she got a lot out of. And I was still, you know, trying to articulate what it was about my little house that was making me so happy. I mean, I felt satisfied with my life in a way that I hadn't when I lived in my big house. And I couldn't quite put my finger on why. And through the writing process and by, again, kind of playing anthropologist with myself and coming up, trying to chronicle what my day in and day out is like, I bumped into the idea that I think the reason I feel more satisfied is because I lean into my natural community and my neighbors differently than I used to. I mean, I really see, you know, I wake up in the morning, I have this big skylight over my bed, and from my first waking moment, I get invited outside visually to whatever it's doing outside, raining, snowing, which looks like, you know, a styrofoam cooler sitting on your window, or a beautiful sunny day. So you can't see that view every morning and not have it change you.
So do you imagine you might pass your first big tiny house on and build another, or are you sticking with this baby?
I'm sticking with this one, but I have definitely, you know, I got the bug while I was building mine. I love building, and I love designing. And so, you know, the fortunate thing is that I started this company called Portland Alternative Dwellings, and a lot of what we do is, you know, focus on the do-it-yourselfers out there. There are lots of people that want to take on building, or they want to take a look at simplifying their life somehow. So we offer workshops, we offer plans and books and stuff like that. And more than anything else, I think it's kind of a one-part how-to that we offer and a two parts why not. You know, we really try to encourage people to examine, you know, what brings them joy. And do that in a way that, you know, is fun.
Would you have thought about the idea of sustainable living before your life changed? And has your definition for yourself changed?
Well, I mean, I studied, you know, my master's work was in environmental studies. So I think I've always been an outdoor person, and I've always called myself an environmentalist. But, you know, I was working so hard and on a certain track. You know, when you own a house, you kind of have to do certain things, like buy goopy, nasty stuff to seal the leak in the roof and spend your time in certain ways that doesn't give you time and money to volunteer, you know, to help the local group trying to pull invasive ivy out of the watershed, you know. So I think I was an environmentalist, and I recycled, you know, and I rode my bike sometimes, you know. But deciding to build my little house and step away from, you know, my big house gave me an opportunity to live differently. So, and by that, it wasn't just time and money. It was also just recognizing that I'm a part of an amazing community. You know, I live in one of the most beautiful places on earth, and I see that differently than I used to. And I see, you know, my community connections differently. I want the local food co-op to thrive because I walk down there every other day because I don't have a big pantry. You know, it is my pantry. And so this sense of sustainability and what is sustainability has changed for me in part because I've come to see how interrelated everything is. And I still have a lot of work to do on myself, you know, and flying all over the country for this book tour, and we all know that's not sustainable. And I, you know, humbly see, you know, there's still stuff that I can do different.
Dee Williams is co-owner of Portland Alternative Dwellings and the author of The Big Tiny, a Built It Myself memoir. She spoke with WUWM's Susan Bentz. You'll find images of Williams' 84-square-foot dwelling on our website, wuwm.com/lakeeffect. We'll take one last break and then take a road trip to the Wisconsin Museum of Quilt and Fiber Arts in Cedarburg. An exhibit of quilts made by inmates at Fond du Lac's Tichita Correctional Institute is on display there, and we'll talk with the quilting program's founder. Stay tuned for more of Lake Effect on WUWM.